Are y'all ready? Are you ready to be in church? You didn't have to come. Right? Y'all know that, right? All right, except for y'all. You have to come. All right, but grown folks, you don't have to come. We get to come. And since you're here, let me tell you something about God. Just like Mr. Johnny said, He's worthy of our praise. In the Old Testament, Psalm 92, it said this: "Let's give thanks to the Lord, and let's sing praises unto His name, and let's declare His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness at night, because He's worthy of it." So whatever you got on your mind, whatever you got in your hand, don't drop it, especially if it's a baby or a coffee. But just get your heart ready to praise God. Forget about what you came from. Don't think about what you're going to. Be here right now and give thanks to God. It's just that simple. We can do it. Let me pray and we'll roll. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be in this place, a special gathering place, dedicated to giving You thanks, worship, praise, and to hear Your word proclaimed. Father, help us to be encouraged by who You are. Help us to encourage one another by what You do in our lives. And we love You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart. do a Christmas song for us, but I hope you all love Christmas music as much as I do. I really love Christmas music. So this week, something funny kind of happened. My dad sent me a text message. He doesn't ever text. But anyway, he sent me a text message, and it would just say something like, let's see, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. And I realized we were playing a game, because this is the kind of person he is. And I realized I was supposed to finish the song. He was sending me random words to random Christmas songs, and I'm supposed to finish the lyrics. It took me a while to catch on and figure out what we were doing. And then I would try to think of a random Christmas song, and I would send him some lyrics, and, you know, trying to stomp him, and then he would guess the Christmas song, and that's what we did back and forth. And it just really got me thinking about all these great lyrics to these Christmas songs, because I really had to start thinking hard, you know, just trying to, because he's, you know, led worship and led music his whole life, so, I mean, he knows just as many Christmas songs as I do. So, but, you know, the words really are so beautiful to some of these songs. And this next one we're going to do, Christmas Offering. Now, it's not one of your, like, classics, like, Oh Come All You Faithful or Silent Night, but it has some beautiful, beautiful words. And I believe after we're done, the kids are going to do Silent Night. So I hope you enjoy these. And I hope that as we get wrapped up in all the busyness of Christmas, that we don't forget what we're really celebrating.
did so good. Y'all did so good. All right, I think we're going. Are we ready and breaking? Ready, break. Did y'all notice how Shauna and Keisha and Nikki tried to stay up here? How they just trying to stay kids. Did you notice that? I noticed that. I noticed those things. There was a whole bunch of kids up here. Hey, they're already taking over the band. Pretty soon they're going to be preaching. They're just going to tell me, well, the kids are going to preach this morning, and you just go ahead and sit over there. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Hey, you know, sometime or another, somebody left a box of cookies right here by my feet. It's a test. I know. I'm like, cookies. And they got this wrapping stuff for them. One of these days, we're all going to be replaced at what we do, right? That's how it was. At some point, you know, there was at Christ Community Church, I wasn't the first preacher. I'm not going to be the last preacher. That's just the way it moves on. Sometime or another, something's going to happen, and to where, Lord willing, there's going to be somebody who grew up singing about love's pure light with radiant beams from thy face, which that sounds weird, but it's in the song. Somebody's going to replace, you know, the band. Somebody's going to replace the preacher. The children are going to become parents and then grandparents, and then those children are going to become parents and grandparents and EMTs and doctors and nurses and every other thing, and teachers, and it's going to be a pretty awesome thing. This morning I walked in. I'm sorry for this little preamble, just bear with me. Walked in, and the kids, many of whom were up here, they were rowdy. They were running. They come from running outside, and they didn't miss a beat. Door flies open, boom, and they're just running. We say, walk! Don't run up in here! Pile of dirt kind of in their area. Sorry, Dad, that you had to hear that. That's like cussing to him. He's the cleaning crew. But you know what? And Bill got onto it. I said, Bill, give a look in there at them. So Bill went around. He gave a look at them. And then we met at the headquarters or the men's room, whatever you want to call it. And I said, somebody's got to teach those kids about Jesus. And God has given us the honor and the privilege to do it. I'm going to tell you, that's an awesome thing. It's a great honor and privilege. Did you hear how sweet that was? He closed your eyes and made me think of like being Carolyn, you know, when you just go out and it was sweet. It was a cappella. It was just sweet. Those sweet children learning about Jesus. I hope that sticks with them. They'll remember Jesus is Lord at thy birth, Lord from the beginning. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And it's an awesome thing. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. We're continuing our message through the Gospel of Mark, talking about the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the whole purpose of this series is to get a better look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at Him as He switches strategy. He, being the master teacher, begins to teach in parables. And we're going to look at some of the reason for that and the meaning behind it, and consider how Jesus is still using parables today and to teach people. Well, I'm going to read a big chunk of scripture, 34 verses. Don't worry about me. I'll get through it. Hey, and you'll get through it too. All right? 34 verses might be more than you've heard or read in a long time. So let it be good to you. All right? This is the Word of God. This is what it says. Mark 4, 1 through 34. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and it because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not set up to be a lampstand or set up on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields its crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it to the sickle, and because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your creativity, your willingness to pursue us, to teach us, to show us, even when we're not ready, even when we're not willing to see and hear, you give us pictures. You break it down. You help us. So, Father, help us, those who are disciples here today, those who are seeking, those who are far off, whoever we may be, help us today, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to bear with us, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This was a whole new thing. They don't say nothing about parables in the Gospel of Mark up until this point. So those guys that Jesus called out, those 12 disciples, Simon and John and James and Andrew and Peter and all those guys, all of a sudden, when Jesus started talking like this, a sower went out and sowed some seed, and the seed went into the soil, and it bore. They were going, "What is he doing?" Because up until then, Jesus was doing things like healing people, casting out demons, and his message was so direct. I don't know if you remember what his first message was that he preached. We went over it in the Gospel of Mark. Anybody remember? It was so easy, direct. He never went over time because this is what he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent, because it's time. But now all of a sudden he's going, well, let me tell you about these farmers. Let me tell you about mustard seeds and all this other seeds. And his disciples were going, what's he doing? Matter of fact, a lot of this passage has to do with why Jesus changed to parables. We don't even hear the word parable before then. But now he says in that last verse, he doesn't even speak to the people without parables anymore. So there's a reason behind it, and there's a reason that we got to understand today. Part of that reason was that Jesus had to respond to the opposition that he was facing. If y'all remember last week, if you remember looking in the Gospel of Mark, if you weren't here last week, look back in the Mark chapter 3. The people started to oppose him. The Pharisees said, you're of the devil. His family said, you're nuts. The other people were saying, we're not sure about you, who you are. So Jesus, instead of putting the simple message that kept getting opposed, he decided to do this, to speak in parables. Parables are word pictures. They're like movies, but just in words. He's given them word pictures of spiritual truth. And then he's pulling away from the crowd and he's teaching his disciples. Jesus at this point makes a difference between the crowd and the disciples. The disciples get the explanation. The disciples get the cream. The disciples get alone time with Jesus. The disciples get deep teaching, but the crowd got parables. Y'all listen, this still happens today. The crowd gets an hour a week. They come to church. They have someone sing to them and for them and with them. They hear somebody chew up the word, study it, and hand it out to them. And it's like a parable. It's just like the surface food. There's a lot of people in this. They might catch a program, a church, might catch Joel Osteen on TV, might catch somebody on the radio, might do this or that, but they're not really getting in deep with Jesus. They're still on the outside, maybe because they have questions about who Jesus is. Is Jesus really worth all the hubbub that we put on to him around Christmas time? Is he worthy of our worship? Is he worthy of my very life? Should I surrender my life to him? A lot of folks, look, being in a place like this on Sunday morning doesn't mean that you're sold out to him. Just like the people standing on the shoreline that were looking out while he taught from the boat, they weren't all sold out to him. He knew that. But he didn't tell them to go away. He wasn't angry with them. He gave them something that they could actually take back and understand. He gave them something right where they are. You might be here today and have questions about who Jesus is. You might not understand. You might not understand about his word or about his mission. I'm so glad that you're here because he wants you to understand. He wants you to be drawn in. He wants you to think about what he's saying. And we'll talk about that when we get into these parables, but you need to understand the parables were given to a group that was largely undecided about who Jesus Christ was. He gave them the parables. The group, the smaller group that was decided about who he was, those were his disciples. To those guys, he gave himself. It says they were alone with Jesus, and he gave them teaching. This is what the parables mean. This is what it's about. This is why I teach them. And you get to hear the behind-the-scenes things. I want to tell you this. I want to make you jealous if I can. There's nothing better than serving Jesus. There's nothing better than drawing close to him. And you might be fence riding. You might be like, hey, it's Sunday morning, and I know it's a good thing to be at church. Well, amen, it is. I'm all for it. I told you, man, church is a good thing. Come on. Jesus is the real deal, though. Maybe you need to hear that in church. Jesus is the real deal. He's got the truth about things. He understands this world. He understands why it was made. He understands the one who made it. He is the one who knows the Father perfectly. In the Gospel of John, he says, no one has seen God at any time, but the Son explains God to us. And in this passage, he's explaining the kingdom of God to us. That's the reason why he used parables. Hey, and I don't want to be insulting. And if I am, I'm sorry, but I got my small brain has no other way to explain this. You don't hand a Bible like this to a four-year-old. What kind of Bible do you hand to a four-year-old? What's it got in it? Pictures. You start them off where they are. Before they can read and even look at pictures, what do? You sing to them, you read to them. How many people in here probably, when they were babies, before you could even talk, had this song sung to you? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Am I the only one who knows it? For they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me. Don't mind the hand. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Wow. How long ago did y'all learn that song? You probably don't even remember the first time you heard it. It was probably repeated over and over to you. It was one of those things. This is where we start off. Do we start off with children that way because we want to demean them? No. It's because we want them to learn. We want them to catch on. When we see Jesus teaching in parables, he wasn't doing it to demean people. He was doing it to meet them at the level where they were. Now, even the religious leaders of the time of Jesus didn't have a full grasp on things. He had a meeting with a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus had all kind of seminary degrees. He was really well known. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. Jesus said, you won't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And he said, born of what? He said, born again. He said, how does that happen? I'm already old. He says, do you not know these things? And he stopped. He had to break it down. And he said, let me tell you something, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is the one who first got to hear these words. And I bet you don't remember when you heard these words first either. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we think that's just elementary, don't we? We take that's like a simple Bible verse. You learn that way on when you're young. But when it first came out, Jesus had to break it out to a religious leader who really didn't understand spiritual things, and he had to break it down to them. Not to demean them, but to bring them forward. Aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad John 3:16's in there? Aren't you glad that we get to hear it and say, whoo, we think it's the basis and the basics of all things, but he gave it to one of the wisest religious leaders of his time and said, this is what you need to know. It's the reason behind the parables are not to demean or to keep people from it. It's to meet people where they are. I've had some unpatient or impatient teachers in my day because I can be a really rotten student, especially if it has to do with anything practical and helpful. Like, you know, making things, hitting things with a hammer. I've worked with Doc Richardson. He makes me to shut up and not to say anything. He says, just do what I tell you to do because there's no teaching me. I just have to pick that up. Okay. You know, it's kind of like that. I've had some now Doc's not the impatient. He might think he is. He's not the most impatient teacher I've had. But I'm just not good at those things. I'm just not patient. And I've had people say, I can't teach you this thing. I love seeing my Lord Jesus Christ faced with a crowd that's becoming increasingly hostile, not say, I'm done with you all, but change his teaching strategy so he can say, I'm going to get you all. I'm going to teach you all. I've taken it on to teach you. I've heard this, where there's no learning, there's no teaching. And I think a lot of time there's no learning and there's no teaching because the teachers give up. Jesus is not the kind of teacher who gives up. Just because they said he had the devil in him, which is what they said. We talked about that. You got the devil in you. He says, time to hit the parables. Just switching up. And he starts teaching them. And it's an awesome thing. Let me teach you what these three parables teach us. Now, Mark chapter 4 has a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 13. And then there's also a parallel passage in Luke chapter 11. So if you want to go see how this passage compares to those other gospels, that's where you'll find them. But in the Gospel of Mark, he gives us three parables. There's twice as many as that in, over twice as many in the Gospel of Matthew. Over twice as many parables in Matthew's same chapter like this. Mark just records three. All three of them have to do with seeds. There's the seed that gets onto the four different kinds of soils. There's the seed that goes in the ground and becomes complete without the farmer even knowing how it's done. It just, he puts it in there and it just goes. And then there's the mustard seed that goes down small but comes up large. Three different kind of seeds. Here's the meaning. We don't have time to go into detail with all these parables. The basic meaning, though, is this. When you take the Word of God and you apply it to the human heart, it does things. This is what he wanted them to get. This is what I want you to get. When you take the Word of God and you let it be planted in a human heart, you receive it there, it does things. It will bear much fruit if you allow it to be in there. It will accomplish everything it was meant to accomplish, even though you don't know how it might work. I believe this. When the Word of God is in your heart, it's working day and night, whether you know it or not. You are not the key to your spiritual growth. The Word of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God, God Himself, He's the key to your and my spiritual growth. He's always working. We just have to be open and receive it. And lastly, when you allow that seed of the Word to penetrate your heart, just like the mustard seed, it may start off small, but if you allow it to grow, it will overtake every other desire, pleasure, want, focus that you have in your life. There's going to be one kingdom in this world, and it's the kingdom of God. It starts off small, started off really small, but one day it's going to fill the whole earth. And if you let the Word of God in your heart, even the smallest bit of it, it one day will become the greatest kingdom of your heart, not just of this world. And you'll follow him. That's what he's saying. That's what he's teaching in these three parables in this chapter. Now, I want to look at this one. Really want to look at the explanation of it. Because it's so, we're familiar with it. It's the one with the four soils. But you can't find a better teaching that will put you on the spot than this one right here. This one puts you on the spot. So we're not going to hide from it. I want you to think, what soil do you have in your heart? What soil do you have in your heart? He said there's a certain kind of soil that is so hard that when the Word of God is sown on it, it doesn't penetrate. It just remains on the surface. And by the time it remains there so long, the devil comes, the demons come, everything else in this world comes and just pulls it away. Just like if you threw seed on the ground, we'd see the crows come and take those seeds off the sidewalk or off the parking lot. Same way, these buzzards will come and take the Word of God before it has a chance to work. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of people, when you talk about the Word of God, you can see that glazed over look on their face like, what? I don't know. It doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them mean people. I'm going to tell you something. There is a worldwide agenda to stop the Word of God from going out. Because the Word of God is living and powerful. It transforms things and people. But there are folks that are so hard-hearted, they don't let the Word even get a little bit in. They don't understand it, they say. They won't invest in understanding. They won't ask God for help. They're just hard. They're hardened. There's another kind of soil. He says, this soil is rocky. And the idea is a little bit of dirt and a little bit of rocks. But when the Word hits it, it says immediately it's received with joy. Like, wow, that is so cool. Man, that is awesome. I'm gonna do this forever. I finally figured it out. Jesus is Lord, and it's so awesome, and I want to walk with him. I want to be there forever. Woo, it's so great. It's so good. And then they get out of church. And somebody cuts them off and flips them to bird. And then they're like, you know, I ain't even into this. I ain't even into this. I had somebody come one time to church, and they said, Brother John, we love it. We love you. We love Jesus. We love this church. This is going to be our church the rest of our life. This is what they told me. This is not a made-up story. That was the last time I ever saw them in church. Now, what happened? It's just different things. It says in here that persecution, when the sun rose up and it scorched it, you can imagine something doesn't have any root in itself. It just got scorched, didn't have any way to maintain its commitment, didn't have any mindset to do it. Doesn't make them evil. Doesn't make them bad. They let their mouth maybe get a little in front of their what they were going to do. They got so excited. Got so excited. You ever hear a flash in a pan? Fly by night. Do those sayings mean anything? That's the sayings we used to do in football. He ain't nothing but a fly by nighter. Here today, gone tomorrow. Phew. Doesn't make a person bad, but it's a reality, and it might be some of our reality, that we hear the word, we get excited when we hear it, but then we are so soon over it. I don't know about you, but I hear things sometimes that get me excited. I hear about a book. I was listening to a radio program. They referenced an article, and I said, ooh, I need that article. I want to get that article. I'm going to get it. I'm going to find it. And I went to online. I looked for it. And I couldn't find it. And I was like, well, it ain't too bad when it's about an article. But when it's the Word of God, y'all listen. Don't be so quick to leave. Persecution makes it stop. Tribulation, it says, squishes the word. In the Gospel of Luke, the parallel passage of this, it says, when they enter in temptation, it squashes the word because they have no root in themselves. I'm going to tell you something about a root system. It's usually pretty big if it's going to be successful. And I think this, more than talking about the person's character, it's this. You don't have a body that you belong to. You're not part of a root system. You're not part of somebody who's going to hold you accountable and say, come on, come on, walk with God. Come on to the church house. We're all in this together. We're all like in the ark. We're all in Noah's ark together. We're all in this together. That's a root system that you can have that will help you to carry on with God. Now, there's another soil. It said this soil had weeds in it, had thorns in it, and said the word was received. Again, this person like, woo, got it. I see it. Preacher was preaching about Jesus, and I finally, for the first time, saw how good Jesus was, and it made me so glad. I remember the first time I sung Hark the Herald Angels Sang. Hark the Herald Angels Sang. That was the first time I ever sang that version. But I remember, I am from Michigan. We do it different up there. We're singing them. I remember the first time I sang that song after I was saved, and this is how dumb I was. I just then realized it was really about Jesus, about how heaven was calling down to earth, about receiving our King, and I got the depth of it, and I was so excited. You know, and I'm so dumb, I'd go tell people, like, Hark the Herald Angel Sings, it's about Jesus. People were like, uh-huh. You know, your helmet's over here. Come here. It was bad. But y'all listen. Don't be ashamed if you ain't got it. Sometimes we don't get it, or we get it, but then other things. You know what? Having Jesus doesn't mean that you don't have to go to work Monday. Having Jesus doesn't mean that your mortgage is paid for the rest of your life. Having Jesus doesn't mean that your arthritis goes away automatically. It might go away. He might take it away. I know he can do all things. I'm not trying to limit what Jesus does, but I'm just telling you this. Most people I know that walk with Jesus in the midst of bills, of life, of kids, of problems, of health issues, of death. There's things still in this world. And what he says, those thorns in some people's lives choke the real good seed out. It's like, I can't pay attention to Jesus because I've got to do these things. I don't know about y'all, but in my brain, there's a limited amount of space. I've got to prioritize because I will get mentally and emotionally, physically and spiritually wore out to the point where I feel like I can't make a phone call or I can't drive a car and I'm just like, oh, overload. You know, in this world, that happens to Christians too. Doesn't make us bad people, does it? But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be able to look and say, oh my goodness, I need to prioritize. Let me tell you, you can prioritize different. The people who bear fruit, this fourth kind of soil, it says they bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. They don't do it because they're miracle workers. They do it because they've had a heart that was soft enough to receive the word. There was a root system strong enough to support them when the scorching sun came out, when the temptations hit. I talked to a man named Don Floyd. Man, I love Don Floyd. There's some people in my life who are just good. And Don Floyd is the one who got me into ministry. He said, John, won't you help me with the RA boys? John, won't you help me with the puppet ministry? John, won't you help me chaperone this trip? And when John woke up drunk and his car was broke down and there's a girl in his house, Don Floyd's the one who came and jumped the car off, got me going and said, son, you know better, but I love you, come on. And he didn't give up on John so that John can continue walking. That's a root system where somebody has invested in your life. Not perfect people. It's people who have things like that going for them, and it's such an awesome thing. The people who bear fruit, it's not because there's not weeds in their life. It's because they've prioritized, and that priority has cut some of the weeds out. It's not because it's weed-free, and then they bear fruit. Do y'all get that? So what kind of soil are you? Are you so hard that even this sermon right now is just bouncing off, just bling, 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 and you're going to go to the buffet? I used to say the buffet was big, ugly, fat folks eating together. I said that to my girls last night, and they said, Daddy, Daddy, because they love me, which means sometimes they'd say little lies. They said, Daddy, you're not ugly or fat. And I said, baby. And they said, well, you're not ugly. I'm sorry. This is true. This happened last night. They said, we need to rename the buffet. I said, what y'all going to name it? They said, I can't say it all, but beautiful unicorns. Anyways, there was a word in there that we use around our house that has to do with a natural process, and it starts with an F and ends with a, anyways, has to do with gas. I have to say it now because they got thinking of different words. This is what the beautiful unicorns were doing. And there's other parts of it. I can't remember all of it, but it just cracked me up. I got no idea where I'm going with this right now. Bottom line is this. I don't know what the bottom line is. God loves you. Hey, and he's going to teach us. But we don't bear fruit because that soil's better off. But where are you at? Where are you at? Are you hard-hearted? Do you have no root system? Have you allowed the weeds to out-prioritize what the Word of God wants to do? Or are you bearing fruit? Those are the things to ask. I have two more points on this outline, and we're going to make it. We're going to make it. But I want to tell you this. There's a reason why Jesus did this. If they wouldn't understand these basic parables, how are they ever going to understand Jesus himself? Jesus is the Son of God, but he's wrapped up in a parable. He's the Son of Man, too. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion is the King of Beasts, but he's also the Lamb of God who's sacrificed for us. How are they going to understand these things? How are they going to understand that he's the Alpha and he's the Omega? How are they going to understand? How are they going to appreciate him unless they start off right where they are, right where Jesus met them and said, listen, I got some things to tell you. And these parables, y'all, he still uses them. He still meets us right where we are, like we talked about the songs and the picture Bibles. Think about some of the movies that have come out lately. that are really good. One called the Son of God that was out, that was really good. Some of the ones that Sherwood Baptist Church has put out, like Courageous and Fireproof, that tell stories about those who are faithful and how they move forward. Think about some of the songs we sing that speak about Jesus being the anchor and all these different things, because people can understand some of those things. These are some of the parables that he still uses. Nature is a great parable. Do you realize it says in the Word of God in Romans chapter 1 that the eternal power, the majesty of God, can be seen in the things that he has created? I don't know what you see when you see the stars, the moon, and the sun. I don't know what you see when you see the big old trees like we got around here, or the sunset and the beauty of the flowers, or the beauty and the magnificence of a little hummingbird. I know a lot of y'all into hummingbirds. Aren't they amazing? The depth of the color, the speed of their wings. Don't you know there was a God, an all-powerful, eternal God who says, I want this. I want beautiful things. I want strange, complex things. That's why he made a platypus. What in the world? They don't even know what that is. Is it a mammal? Is it a reptile? Is it a bird? But God wanted it. And that's why it's here. Nature shows us that parable. The Word of God is like a parable. You know what it says? You know, I'm holding a book in my hand, right? But this is God's Word written in human handwriting. It says of itself, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we understand the sharpness of a sword, don't we? At least figuratively we do. It's sharp. It's pointy. It's good for defense. It's good for cutting down enemies. It says that's what this Word is. That's a parable to teach you and me. The church is a parable. Do you know what he says about the church? Does he say the church is just the servant slave of God? Or does he say the church is the bride of Christ? Do y'all know what a great privilege it is to be the bride of Christ? And even Christians are a parable. We ourselves. Do you know what he says about us? It says, hey, you just look like a regular person. I look like a regular person. But it says, we are temples of the Holy Spirit of God, that there's someone indwelling us for our safety, protection, power, learning, all that. We even are parables. The Bible actually says, when somebody sees you having peace in a hard time, you give them the reason for the hope that you have within you, because you are like a parable. God is still wanting to reach and still showing people pictures. That's how he is. That's how Jesus is. He's the master teacher and he never stops. He wants us all to come. He wants all of us to be his. He wants all of us to understand the realities of who God is and what his kingdom is about. Whatever kind of soil you are, hard soil, rocky soil, thorns and weeds, or soil that's bearing fruit, he wants you to come closer to him. And if you need that, if you need him now, now's your time. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity to come together, to share your word, to laugh. And Father, I pray right now that if there's anyone who would need to say, Lord, can you change the soil? Lord, will you help me to receive the word? Will you give me that root system? Would you help me prioritize through the weeds that are blinding me and choking out the fruit? Will you help me, Lord, to be fruitful? Father, would you bring to completion all that you destined for my life? Father, would you become the largest of influences in my heart and in my mind and in my soul, where everything else is in the shadows of who you are and what you do? Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a song of invitation, a time of invitation. If you just need, look, if God spoke to you in some way, don't you worry. He'll finish what he starts. But you might want to make a commitment and say something back to him before you go. God won't forget, and he won't get distracted. But when you leave here, you might forget, and you might get distracted. If you need to say something to God, you have this time right now to do it. Thank you. Ask that the ushers would come forward for the morning offering. And just as they're coming, just y'all remember, when God starts something, he finishes it. I mean, you can just count on it. He's awesome. And let that be an encouragement to you. Encourage one another this time of year. One of those unstated, unfortunate facts is that a lot of people get depressed this time of year. Reach out to somebody you know. If you're depressed and nobody knows, He knows. Call on Him and ask Him for His help. Let me pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your time. And we pray that You bless us. And thank You for how You provide for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go. If you're coming to the concert tonight and you registered for some tickets, they're up here. Miss Kim has them. She's holding them in the bucket. There are tickets in the bucket. If you didn't get tickets, I think it was already told, you can come. As a matter of fact, we're going to lock the doors from the outside. We're not letting any of you leave. And that's a joke. But we would like you to come back. Come in, man, it's going to be Christmas songs, real Christmas songs. We're just going to have a joyful time in the Lord, so I invite you all to come back. If you know anybody, drag them with you. It'd be all right. It'd be all good. If we have more seats somewhere in this building, we will pack it up. It'd be all right. Just bring everybody. Tell everybody, bring everybody. Wednesday night, we'll be having service. Our whole Christmas time thing is everything on our schedule is exactly the same, with one exception. On Christmas morning, December 25th, which is on a Sunday, we will not be having Sunday school. We're just going to have our service at 11. We're going to make really, really sure to be out by 12 so that you can, I know y'all are thinking, if you can do it on Christmas Day, you can do it every day. But point being, we're going to try real hard to get so you can plan that into your day, okay? You know, might be a sacrifice, but that's all right. Some, you know, sacrifice ain't bad. And anyways, so that's those things. If you have any other questions, my wife probably knows what the answer is, okay? I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Father God, as we go, bless us. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready?